That was not your average day of transactions for a major league general manager in one day. Let's talk about the Randall Grichuk extension first. He's obviously, you know, the cornerstone of your outfield. He's 27 years old right now. I think the only, I wouldn't say skepticism, but the only question people would have about the deal is, were you working with lower term, I suppose, in terms of parameters, either 3 or 4 years, and then did that extend out to 5, where buying a couple years of free agency made the most sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, really, first and foremost, the thing we're most excited about is just adding years to Randall Grichuk because of how strongly we feel about the teammate, about the professional. Feel like there's some upside to him. He's been an established major league hitter that obviously is also a very good defender and hits the ball over the fence quite often, hits the ball as hard as anybody in baseball. So really glad to be extending him and hopefully line that up with the talent that is going to be transitioning soon. So as it relates to the term, there's always a balance. Depends on the AAV, depends on, you know, takes two to dance, and that's the deal that made the most sense for both parties.
His second half was fantastic last year, as you know, and it, for our listeners, an 895 OPS. He hit 14 home runs and 242 plate appearances. Let's talk about the defense because of the change with Kevin yesterday, which Ashley will get to in a sec. Do fans expect to see him a lot more in center field than they have seen him in his first year and a few games as a Blue Jay?
Yeah, I would say that the likelihood of that just certainly increased. But we also acquired Socrates Brito, have other internal options. So we'll see how the year plays out. In the near term, he will be playing more center than he was. Having the ability to do that is part of the reason that we felt good about the extension.
So there's a little confusion heading into opening day game that Anthony Alford was going to be playing. Instead, it ended up being Rowdy Tellez. And I'm wondering if this deal was something that you had expected to go through the Kevin Pillar trade a little bit sooner, and that's why Alford was under the impression that he might get an opportunity to start. We know that San Francisco has been at least asking about Kevin Pillar since December. So was that the case in this instance, that Alford thought he was coming up because you were hoping to get the deal done before yesterday?
No, it actually wasn't the case. So the reason that Anthony was there was in the event that the Morales trade didn't go through and we didn't have the roster spot for Javi Guerra. In that case, we needed someone else that was there on the roster. We would have started the year with 7 pitchers, and we would have been fine, obviously, for opening day. And we feel that Anthony Alford is a great organizational piece for us and has a really, really, really bright future, and there's still growth and development, so we really want to make sure he's playing on a regular basis. Having said that, he can help our major league team now when the need arises.
And you got to see him, right? Like, he needs major league at-bats now. It's probably hard for fans, Ross, to believe he's had 30 major league at-bats so far in his career. Like, I think people feel like he's been on the scene longer. He's been on the radar. He just needs to see major league pitching. And not that it's sink or swim in the first couple months, but you as an evaluator of talent have to see him hit at the major league level as to whether he can do it or not.
Yeah, and candidly, Greg, he needs AAA at-bats. I mean, he hasn't performed to the level of his ability that he will in AAA enough. But most likely scenario is he's getting the bulk of his reps there before he comes up here and gets regular playing time. So what we don't want is for him to be a fourth outfielder in the major leagues. We want to give him the best chance to be an everyday outfielder, and there's still development for him. So the addition of Socrates Brito, who has proven himself at AAA, he'll get more regular playing time. He'll be joining us tomorrow in Cleveland.
So clearly you guys are open for business, and you made it abundantly clear that, hey, this isn't a popularity contest. We're making moves for the betterment of our team going forward. With that being said, there's a lot of speculation around Marcus Stroman about Aaron Sanchez, and I would imagine that you guys are at least listening to offers. But is there any opportunity to have contract extension talks with those two, or is that something you guys aren't interested in at the moment?
There's always that interest, and there's always that dialogue. I think, you know, the delicate balance is with we're not in just a we're going to trade our players mode. those are very good pieces to the equation. They have been effective. They have both gotten off to tremendous starts. They look strong and healthy, and they very much could be a part of our future. Having said that, as we have stated in the past and stated over the offseason, if there's a deal that makes sense, and it's well beyond just those two players, if there's a deal that makes sense for us and for the other organizations and any trade, it always takes two, there is the potential that that could happen. But the likelihood of that is maybe slightly higher at a time where your organization is creating opportunities for others. But at the same time, it would be exceptionally difficult to replace the talent and contributions that they give. Starting pitching is a very difficult asset to find. And right now, as we sit here today, we're really, really excited to see the progress that they've had and how they've started their seasons.
Yeah, we're going to get to how good your whole team starting pitching has been overall in just a sec. We're speaking with Ross Atkins, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. They're home today against the Orioles before 4 o'clock start on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and Sportsnet. So the Jimenez deal with the White Sox last week happens, and yesterday Ronald Acuna signs an 8-year contract. It's got some complications to it because he was already signed to a rookie deal. So someone might spot you today and say, Ross, why can't the Blue Jays sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to this deal? What would be attractive about a deal like that from a club perspective to lock him in very long term? And what would make you hesitant about that?
Yeah, Greg, so the attractive part is any time that you're sharing risk with a player, it's hard to get to those points. It's hard to find that it doesn't happen just overnight. It happens with a lot of discussion, a lot of interaction, a lot of back and forth. And what's important to a player and what's important to an organization has to line up. And those risks are very different. On the player side, the risk is potentially turning down the opportunity to go to free agency and, potentially set records in free agency for players that are as talented and project to be as good as the players that you're mentioning. And on the club side, the risk is if the player is not quite the player they're projected to be, or significantly less, that would be more of the risk or certainly an injury. So the upside is control and having certainty and not just the years of control, but what you're going to be compensating that player at and the risks are as I just stated. So obviously it's attractive to all teams and it's occurring more and more. And that's an interesting topic as well, is why are those deals occurring more often than they used to occur? But, we are obviously committed to the long term here, and we're obviously committed to building the best possible core that we can, and to extend that window as long as humanly possible is absolutely our goal, to do something exceptional. And in order to do that, you have to talk about deals like that.
And I get why you'd want to do it. The funny thing is, for Atlanta, he's the defending rookie of the year. Can't win it again. But he's also had 500 plate appearances. I'm sure if Guerrero Jr. had the year this year, Ross, that Acuna had last year, you'd walk and hand him the money that the Braves just had. That's a long walk for his offseason home. But either way, you would do that in a second. But you haven't seen him take one major league at bat, and I understand wanting him. I understand wanting to before a $100 million contract gets pushed out there.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Vladdy, as everyone has talked a ton about, and rightfully so, the question isn't around his offense. The question is in around maximizing the player that he can be and ensuring that we're doing everything we can to challenge him to be the best overall player. How good can he possibly be at third base, and how long can he be excellent at third base? And you bring a player to the major leagues and that's not absolute, then it becomes a lot easier to move him off third base in a hurry. So for all the reasons that you stated, in addition to making sure we want to have the most well-rounded and complete player as possible, but we're not going to wait for that. We're going to do the best of our ability to balance that. So that's the challenge, and it's always different for every player, and your point is absolutely right, that more information is better.
So when you look at the team that you guys have fielded for the first couple games here, you know, your starting pitching, as we've mentioned, was really, really good. You guys had the 24-inning shutout streak from your starters early on. But one of the things that hasn't really been there, at least not early on in games, certainly has been the offense of production. Is this something that is worrisome to you, or what have you seen that you think there are indicators that it might not last that much longer?
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, it's a great question, and it's certainly it's not fun. You know, it's not fun to watch our hitters struggle when you know that they're more capable of that. It's not fun for our fans. We get that. It's not as exciting, and there's a lot of good things that are occurring. But I have a ton of certainty, or a ton of confidence, I would say, with professional sports and athletes. There's not a lot of certainty in this world, but a ton of confidence that it's going to be much, much better than what we're seeing. And that's also the nature of professional sports. This is a tiny sample size. We're talking about six games, so 20-plus plate appearances for individuals. And it really is just timing. There's nothing physically off. There's nothing fundamentally wrong. These guys, a lot of them, Lourdes Gurriel, Brandon Drury, Billy McKinney, Teoscar Hernandez, they've already shown that they can hit at a very good rate, or at a solid, at least solid average major league rate, and they will. Mm-hmm. The history suggests that, and it will happen. They are strong. They're mentally in great spots, and it is going to turn. And that's the nature of baseball. It really is just timing. And in the short term, over the course of six games, it's just not quite as exciting.
I do want to ask you one thing kind of off the cuff a little bit. So one of the things we were talking about last week when we went to the home opener was the 999 challenge. Have you heard of it, Ross?
I'm sorry that I haven't.
It's 9 hot dogs, 9 beers throughout 9 innings of a baseball game. Like, where would you land on that spectrum? You're talking about certainty. Like, how certain are you that this is something that you could or could not complete?
That's an awesome question. That is definitely
now, awesome. We need an awesome answer now.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. And I'm quite certain I could not complete that. You know, maybe when I was 19 or 21, I should say.
Before you go, what is your reaction to the attendance so far? And I follow the demographics, and I tell our listeners for context, Justin Verlander and the Astros came into Arlington last night, and they drew 16,000. Cincinnati's a pretty damn good baseball market, and they had 10,000 at their game. Is this just April? Is there an initial reaction to it? You're going to have Mike Trout come in for 4 games in May. You're going to have Machado and the Padres. It's tough to judge, but I'm sure it's disappointing. This team led the American League in attendance 2 years ago and was never over 500 for a game. What was your initial reaction to the 5 games since opening day?
Your context is awesome, Greg, and it really is. I think you're painting it well. We also understand that winning is what drives sport, and winning is ultimately, there are a few exceptions in organizations across professional sport where they don't have to win and the fans still file in on a regular basis. But in most cases, that's what drives everything. And then the names on the back of the jerseys, regardless of where those names were in households, become household names because of winning. So we are driven towards that and focused on that, and that's where we spend our time and energy. But I think the way that you painted that narrative, we know that our fans are still there. Our fans are still there. They're not coming to the ballpark at the same clip or the same rate. And when we win, it's only a matter of time, they're going to be filing back in. And I do think there's going to be an uptick because the weather changes and school is out and all of the things that you've mentioned.